rock stars from Rockland USA Studios in Washington. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're just here to give you ideas, answer your questions, and keep you updated on that path to multi-millions without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig with Amanda, and we are your host, and we are so grateful that you've joined us. Phone lines are open 24 hours a day, 989-888-ROCK. 989-888-7625. You can leave a voicemail, text us with your questions or comments, and we'll play those on the show. And if you're too shy for all of that, you can always email us to podcast@rocklandusa.com. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Craig.
How you doing, girl?
I am fantastic.
People are loving hearing you on this podcast, by the way. You are, for someone that's never listened to a podcast, people are loving what you're doing.
Well, that's good to hear.
Your savvy savings and everything. It's been great.
Well, happy to help.
That's great. What's coming up on the show today, Amanda?
We have a good one today. We have top five ways hackers use to steal your passwords. And then, of course, savvy savings. And today's topic is on prescription medication.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one. And yeah, we get to geek today. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, we have a podcast review from Apple iTunes. I guess it's Apple Podcast review.
Okay. And this is another 5-star.
Oh, of course. We actually have a perfect 5 out of 5-star rating on Apple right now.
Okay.
Now, we only have 10 ratings, but hey, it's still 5 out of 5. This is from K.A. Cross. Cross. Okay. And here's what he says. He or she. Correct. Oh, I almost messed up there. Great podcast. Craig and Amanda work well together and offer lots of tips for saving and earning money, not just stock advice. And Craig, my Domino's.
Oh, you talked about that in one of the earlier episodes about your Domino's account.
That was like episodes ago. That was like one of the first episodes.
So it was one of the first ones. So I'm surprised we got 5 stars.
Yeah, we were definitely not smooth at that point. Uh-huh. Craig, my Domino's account was just hacked too. Pizza and wings ordered in Baton Rouge. I'm a smart man. Baton Rouge while I was on vacation in Colorado. I will be looking into password encryption key. Thanks for the tip. Oh, and we're going to be talking about that today.
Well, how timely is that?
What a segue. The top five ways hackers steal your passwords, Amanda.
All right.
And what I thought this was really useful because this gets into all of your online accounts.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Oh, you use the LastPass, don't you?
I use LastPass. There's a lot of great ones out there, but I
So you have strong passwords then?
Yes, I do. Oh, okay. You have homework, girl. We're going to fix you.
My husband, bless his soul, he is he obviously, I've said before, he works for the Army, but he is in system administration, so he's very into the strong passwords, and he always can guess my password.
Was it Roscoe?
No. Woof, woof. It's not. I know at least not to do that.
But, okay. Yeah. If you're not familiar with how this works, I've been doing this since the 80s. I actually learned computers from hackers, Amanda. That's what started my whole journey into geekdom.
Wait a minute.
Time out.
Where did you just randomly meet hackers?
Okay, so quick story. We'll make this 60 seconds. Put me on the timer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I
think it's an important story though, because I don't ever just run into hackers.
Oh no, I ran into hackers. So in the 80s, I had a Radio Shack computer, a TRS-80. Remember now I'm dating myself. They were called Trash 80 computers. That's what Radio Shack. Anyway, so you had to go to computer stores. You couldn't download software back then. You had to go buy games and stuff at these stores. They were all over the place. So I could not figure out this computer whatsoever. So I end up going to this one little software store in Washington, D.C. in Tenleytown. And I'm browsing around. There's this guy there. He starts talking to me. He's like, so you have this computer too? I'm like, yeah, but I can't figure it out. He goes, all you need to do is come to the Chevy Chase Library. This is in Montgomery County, Maryland. Come to the basement of the Chevy Chase Library on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'm like, what's that? He goes, oh, it's a computer club. Just show up and we'll help you out. I'm like,
okay. All right.
So anyway, I show up, I walk in the door, and remember, this is in the 80s. They have robots, they're programming, they're doing all the stuff that a lot of people didn't see till like late 1990s to 2000.
Uh-huh.
And they were copying
in the library basement.
In a government public library basement. And I was like, and then they gave me a shoebox full of diskettes, full of games and everything. And I didn't have to pay anything. My lawyer is on here.
All right, back to our topic. Top anyway, 5 ways hackers.
Top 5 ways. Brute force.
Number one, brute force.
Number one. So like if Amanda, if you use the password Roscoe, that would be brute force. Meaning, you know what the number one password is in the Washington, D.C. area?
No.
This was in USA Today. It was Redskins.
Oh, really?
It is.
I bet in Wisconsin, it's probably Packers.
It probably is. So this was actually, it might have been the Washington Post. Or if you had to put letters and numbers, it's Redskins 123.
Oh, boy.
So brute force, there's actually software that you can use as a hacker or, you know, a teenager. And if they know that you do this sort of thing, the software literally just keeps hitting the account, your names of your dogs, your kids, stuff like that. Based on what you have on your Facebook profile, they just gather all the information and usually they can get in pretty quick. You can typically get in within seconds. It's that good. Now, if you use a 16-digit password with letters, numbers, and symbols, it could take 93 trillion years to guess that. Whoa. So if you use a very long password with a combination of letters, numbers, and symbols, 16 digits long, that would take care of that brute force entry. Now, another way, which is very common, and if a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend wanted to get into your accounts to see what you're doing.
Like my
you
husband.
Think I'm kidding? A lot of people do this. It's called keylogging malware. Now, keyloggers, it used to be you could put on USB key and plug it in to a computer, a home computer, and it would record every keystroke that someone does on that computer.
Yeah.
Now, the malware part, okay, you're on Facebook and you get those 10-year challenge things that you can click on and it takes you to another website.
Yep.
This is how this stuff happens. So people click on that stuff or there's a neat little game. And then how many times have you seen someone on Facebook says, oh, I got hacked. What happened is they clicked something they should not have. Now they got malware.
A lot of those games are created in China.
Correct. I don't click on any of that stuff.
I don't click on any of those.
So I'm
also not that interested in, you know, what my spirit dog is or a dog animal or whatever.
But you are going to look the same 10 years from now.
I am because I don't age. Yeah.
But some of that malware that ends up coming on your computer could be keylogger and it's recording every keystroke you did, whether it's credit cards, your passwords, everything. And it's getting emailed automatically to a server somewhere typically in China, India, Russia. And then when you get hacked, you wonder what happened. Well, that's how it happened.
Yeah.
Or it can be done locally by a spouse. It happens a lot. And private investigators will help the spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend install these on your computer. Anyway, that's keylogging.
So that's number two. All right. So number three, phishing scams. So these are social engineering scams that are, a favored delivery method for some of that malware you just talked about, as well as getting unsuspecting victims to volunteer personal information like login details. They often are sent by email and they rely on your gullibility and don't actually involve any technical components usually. So a lot of people are familiar with the Nigerian prince scam, right? Like somebody is sending an email saying, I am a Nigerian or my uncle's a Nigerian prince and I will send you so much money as long as you send me some Western Union money or something like that. And people, sometimes the heartstrings get pulled and they fall for it. Or a lot of them are, it looks like an email coming from your bank and it says, click on the, your password is about to expire. Oh, yeah. Click here to update it. And you click and it's not actually your bank's website. It's, you know, someone who's pretending it's your bank, and then you enter your password and they have access to your account.
So one of my Fortune 500 companies that I work for, they will send these out intentionally. There's third party companies that will work with companies to send these out. And if you click on it, you are now required to take a course on not to do that again.
Yep.
So I see them every now and then. Now I'm like, I don't know if that's legit, if I'm supposed to reply that email. So
you'll find out
5 days later.
In today's environment, when you're getting hundreds of emails a day, sometimes it's not, you think you know these rules and you're super savvy, but you get an email and sometimes you just react. So the tip there is really just kind of pause and digest. Is this really a legitimate email I'm getting? And your bank's never going to email you asking for your password. Never.
No.
Yes. And so that you just want to go and type in your bank's URL instead of clicking on a link, and you'll see if it's something that is really needed or not.
So here's another one that pertains to a lot of our audience, because we have a lot of people that travel all the time that's in our audience.
Number four,
network eavesdropping. So what this is if you're hanging out at a Starbucks or an airport, Amanda, this is so easy to set up and people fall for it all the time. So if I'm sitting in a Starbucks, I could get up my laptop, I could set up this software, and I can make it appear to be the hotspot. So I could call it Starbucks public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And everybody coming in here will connect to my Wi-Fi.
Right.
And everything that they do is going right. I'm capturing. It's almost like a keylogger. I'm capturing everything that you're doing. And then they turn around, go shopping on Amazon, and they start draining your bank accounts and everything like that. And before you know it, it's over. It happens in hotels a lot.
I never log into any of my like my bank accounts or anything that requires a password when I'm on a public network.
Yes. And another way, I know this is a term that a lot of people may not be familiar with, but you can buy a VPN. It's a virtual private network. They're relatively inexpensive. You can Google it. It's like a couple dollars a year. A lot of your companies that you may work for may have them available to you. But
we do. We use a VPN.
Yeah. It happens a lot also in hotels, because if you're staying at a Hilton, Hyatt, someone could be in their hotel room, set it all up, and people think they're connecting to Wi-Fi, the public Wi-Fi. And yeah, it happens a lot. That's a very, very common way of doing it. I have T-Mobile, and I get unlimited hotspot. Usually while I'm traveling, I only go through my phone. I had the VPNs built in my phone, and then I'm going through the hotspot, so I know which way my traffic's, I'm doing double. Yeah. So anyway, what you got for number five?
Number five, shoulder surfing. So sometimes it's actually simplest, and one of the oldest tricks in the book is looking over someone's shoulder in a public area to, you know, glean login information. So they've been criminals have been using this for years to obtain PIN codes at ATMs, but it also applies to other situations such as office visitors, you know, someone walking around your office. That's why a lot of offices require escorts. I would put in the same category people who leave their passwords on post-it notes by their computer.
It says Roscoe on it.
You know what's interesting, Craig? When you were talking about the network eavesdropping and the keylogger malware, I did see a story not this long ago that when you're traveling, you know, all these new charging ports that you see all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Criminals
are using those to do malware. So you plug in your phone to charge it, and it's actually going to install malware there. So you want to be careful not to just plug your phone into any random USB jack that you see for charging.
And for
bring that power cube and just plug into an electrical outlet instead.
And that's what I do. I only use AC outlets. I bring all my stupid chargers.
Yeah.
I hate it, but I do not use you. Well, number one, it takes forever to charge anything. So why anybody would do that anyway? Doesn't make sense to me. I use high power chargers because I need to get my stuff charged. So, but USB chargers in like an airport, they take forever. It doesn't make any sense. But another thing that I do, and we're going to talk about this on another episode because we're running out of time, is I use a password manager. I literally, Amanda, do not know what my passwords are. I don't. I use LastPass. There's a lot of different brands of
password managers. They used to be Taco, though, right?
Yes, for every single one. I use
LastPass. Taco was your Chihuahua, right?
My, yeah, By the way, yeah. He's dead, so thank you. Now I'm all upset. LastPass is the one that I use. There's a lot of different ones out there. There's just the one I prefer. And I use actually a hardware key. So if any of you listening that are my friends and you run into me, it's on my lanyard. I have a key. It works on both my phone and a USB port on my laptops. And I'm using it right here on my home computer right now in my studio.
And what if you lose the key?
If I lose the key, then there's a backup of on the phone, there's an app which has another backup source. So there's only one master password that gets into the vault of all the passwords.
Gotcha.
But for the passwords like for Gmail, Facebook, my bank, I do not literally know what my passwords are. So once I use the password manager and log in, it fills in the password automatically for me. And if I have a breach or I feel like I want to change all my passwords, I literally have 400 passwords.
Yeah.
400 accounts. Could you imagine how long it would take to go through 400 websites to change your passwords? If I click one button, it will go through and change them all automatically. So if I would do it like every 30 days or something like that, I just click on change passwords and all the sites that it's able to, it will do it. And if there's some obscure small sites, I have to go do those manually. But all the big ones like Twitter, Facebook, it will change it automatically. And that's amazing. So,
you know what we didn't talk about, Craig, is the saving your password in your browser.
Oh, yes. I do not do that.
Yeah.
I do not save it in my Google. And that causes a lot of problems when you're using public computers, whether it's at work or in a hotel lobby. Do not do any of that. Do not save your password on the browsers. Right. I know everybody wants it to make it easy. People are going to get into your accounts, plain and simple.
Yep.
And always close your browser when you're done using it, if you're on a public computer.
That's a lot crazy, of people Craig, leave it up. They just like close out the tabs. Open at all times.
Close out the entire browser so someone has to reopen it, and then it's all cleared out. So there you go. All right. When we come back, guess what time it is?
Sammy Savings.
I get so excited about Sammy Savings. We'll be right back right after this. Don't forget to check out our podcast on every podcast serving platform out there. Apple, Google, iHeart. It's everywhere. Spotify. And please share, like, and comment. Give us a rating on those. We really, really would appreciate that. All right. Savvy Savings, Amanda. What you got for us today?
Today's topic, prescription medication.
Ooh. So, you know what? I don't know a lot about this because I'm fortunate to be healthy.
Yeah, well, I'm very healthy as well, but I do take some maintenance medication. But I do, my mother spends a lot of money every month on medication. So I thought that this would be a good topic. And I did see, well, especially when we're talking about retirement, definitely one of those budget categories that tends to go up when you retire. So, you know, even if you're not taking a lot of prescriptions now, those costs can eat into your smaller budget during retirement.
Okay.
And I actually saw this week that the cost for diabetic medications are doubling. I know, you know, not that long ago, the cost for, what was it, insulin? No, really? Those are the ones that are going up, the insulin ones. But before, what was it that this guy went in front of Congress for?
Oh, yeah.
Was it the EpiPens?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're outrageously expensive. So I did find some really good tips on how to reduce or manage your prescription costs. First one is you can go to a big box store instead of a pharmacy. You know, a lot of us just use Walgreens or CVS or maybe a local pharmacy for convenience. Mm-hmm. But there are many pharmacies and grocery stores and big box chains that offer hundreds of generic medications for just $4, like $4 flat.
Wow.
Yeah. So like you can pull up and that's for a 30-day supply or $10 for a 90-day supply. So you're getting even more savings. Wow. It is insane. So you can just actually either ask for a list when you're at their pharmacy, or you can look it up on the internet, and you can bring that list then, or bring a copy of it to your doctor, and they'd have the information on where to send your prescription. The next tip is to try generic. So for example, there's a cholesterol lowering drug called Lipitor that retails for about $390 for a 30-day supply, mm-hmm. which is crazy, right?
That's insane.
The generic version, I don't know if I can say this, but it's atorvastatin or atorvastatin.
Statin?
That probably is it.
Yeah.
Statin, yeah. Is about $10 for a 30-day supply.
$380 cheaper.
$380 cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's so insane. Generic. And there are generics for just about everything nowadays. There's very few medications that don't have a generic, and those would be the newer ones. But it's worth asking your doctor, of course. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the doctor prefers or just knows the brand name, but do ask if there is a generic available. And sometimes your pharmacist will be able to offer it to you as well. They may have to contact your doctor to okay a generic if they wrote it for a prescribed brand name instead.
Okay.
The next tip is to get a bigger dose. So some prescription medications can be divided with a pill splitter.
Wait a minute.
And
a pill splitter? Uh-huh. What's a pill splitter?
Yeah. So you can buy those at the pharmacy. It's just like this little tool that'll...
You mean like cutting tiles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
I don't know how to explain it.
They actually have things you can buy that...
Yeah.
Well, I see what I know.
It's exactly how it sounds. It's
can I cut my Viagra in half?
Maybe. I don't know. Talk to your doctor.
Okay. I will.
So a lot of times the larger dosage comes in or is available at once you do the math and split it into the dosage that you need, it would be at a much lower cost. Now there's a warning there. As a general rule, extended release or slow release medications should not be split. And obviously you can't split something that's in a capsule, because then you're just going to have a mess all over your floor. But
all those little beads be all over.
All those
place.
Little beads everywhere. Yeah, that doesn't work. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
You can't just count out half the beads and take them.
My little tweezers just.
Yeah. Boom. No. So definitely talk to your doctor first, but that is sometimes an option.
Okay.
You can get a larger supply. So like we talked about in the first example, $10 for 90 days versus $4 for a 30-day supply. A larger supply, instead of getting a prescription that lasts for those 30 days, just making your insurance copay every month, you could ask for a 90-day supply, and then you only have to pay one copay every 3 months.
Oh, okay.
So right there, you're saving 2 months worth of copays, even if nothing else.
Hmm.
You can check and see if your insurance offers mail orders. Often these are at substantial savings. And again, only one copay. A lot of times the mail order ones are for more maintenance medications, and they usually offer a 90-day supply at a huge savings. I was able to get a 90-day supply for $7 by mail order.
What was that company that Amazon bought that they automatically do all those individual sealed things and it tells you the date and everything you take it?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Prescription. Here, let me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Check into it while I'm talking about the next one.
Okay.
So the next one, and this one, I didn't know this before, but you can apply for assistance. So there's many kinds of prescription assistance programs offered by state and local governments, Medicare, nonprofit groups, and even some of the drug makers themselves. The programs typically have income requirements. So if you are just looking to save money, but you're already in a comfortable income bracket, you probably won't qualify. But if you are on a limited and fixed income, then definitely take a look at these. Some of the nonprofit organizations are called Needy Meds, and there's another called Partnership for Prescription Assistance. And we'll put the links to those in the show notes as well. But again, that's Needy Meds, and the other one is Partnership for Prescription Assistance.
Needy as in me?
Needy. Yeah, you're very needy.
I've been called needy before, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other resources include your state assistance program. So check with your local and state governments. And then you can always call the manufacturer of your medication directly and see if there's some assistance. Finally, shop around. So call pharmacies in your areas to compare prices, or this is going to be a tip for an app, Craig.
Oh, you know, I love apps.
You can either use your computer or a smartphone app to do the work for you. So great apps, sites. There's one called WeRx.
You mean like W-E-R-X?
W-E-R-X. W-E-R-X.
I've never heard of that.
It's W-E-R-X.org. Or GoodRx is also one. Yes.
I've used that one.
You have. Okay,
finally good. Have so, used an app you've talked about. So I love that. I love GoodRx.
It's amazing. You just put in the medication you're looking for and it will pull up the prices for all of the pharmacies in your local area.
I'm shocked at what some of the recommendations are, because one time it told me to go to Safeway, which is a grocery store, and they were the cheapest. And it depends on the drug. You don't know where the cheapest drug is. It's crazy.
So you may want to do that homework before you go to your doctor. I mean, of course, it depends. If you're going in for some emergency situation, you're not going to know what your medications are in advance. But maybe while you're waiting to get checked out, you can check your app on your phone and see where you want to have it called in. But you may have to send one prescription to one pharmacy and one to another to get the best savings. But the prices can vary dramatically, like $30 to $10. It's a huge difference just shopping around.
This is really
awesome.
The
GoodRx is amazing. My sister used that. Her son needs EpiPens, and of course they expire every couple of years. And they're hundreds of dollars for the set of EpiPens. And she was able to shop around and literally saved hundreds of dollars just because of the GoodRx.
Oh, and by the way, that company that Amazon bought was PillPack.
Yeah. Oh, PillPack, yes.
Remember PillPack? Because it comes in a box and you just rip it open and it has the date and time when you're supposed to take it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know what the cost of that is, but I haven't really...
Yeah, you know, you usually pay a premium for convenience, so yeah, I would be surprised if that's a cost savings.
Yeah. Seems like a lot of packaging for pills. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's in. Yeah, I'm. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I'm a fan of the larger quantities also, because you're throwing fewer pill bottles away into our landfills.
Oh, absolutely. No, I agree with that. I've gotten a lot better about that sort of thing. That's awesome. That was a good one. Man, how many apps have you gone over? My phone's getting filled up.
I hope you got the
WeRx. I gotta check that one out too, because I love GoodRx, but I'd like to check out that other one.
Yes, yeah, awesome. WeRx is WeRx.org, and it's GoodRx.com.
.org organization. Mm-hmm. I have to check that. Well, thank you, Amanda. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
All right. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the previous episodes. We have articles, show notes, everything right there. Plus links directly to all of the podcast platforms where you can easily subscribe to the podcast, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and many others. We really do appreciate all of your support. We have a lot of gratitude that you took the time to check us out. We really do appreciate it. Send us an email and tell us what you think to podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. We'll see you again next time on Rock on the Money. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.